I had a whole other message prepared, but a couple of questions were asked, and I made a reference to a passage from the Scripture in Disciple Bible tonight that got my juices flowing in terms of a story. Oh, gosh, no pun intended, because you're... Never mind. Turn to Genesis 38. Turn to Genesis 38, and would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for being here with us this evening. Bless us as we study your word. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. That as your word is read and received, we might hear what you have to say to us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Genesis chapter 38. It happened at that time that Judah, and Judah is son of Jacob by, son of Jacob by Leah. Yes, the last of the first four sons of Jacob by Leah. It happened at that time that Judah went down from his brothers and settled near a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. He married her and went into her. And she conceived and bore a son, and he named him Ur. Ur. Again she conceived and bore a son, whom she named Onan. Yet again she bore a son, and she named him Shelah. Shelah. She was in Chezeb when she bore him. That would be Chezeb of Shelah. Shelah from Chezeb. Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn son. Her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And so the Lord put him to death. Ur-erred, didn't he? Doesn't say what Ur did, it just said he erred. And he died. He didn't have a chance. Then Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her and raise up offspring for your brother. But since Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, he spilled his semen on the ground whenever he went into his brother's wife, so that he would not give offspring to his brother. Why hasn't this ever read on Sunday morning in worship? Verse 10. This is in my Bible. Is it in yours? You're shaking your head no. What was that? Well, that's the King Jimmy. Sounds a little nicer there, but it's still pretty bad, isn't it?
It really has the Baptist Bible.
It says seed, doesn't it? It says seed in the King James. But that's what it is. We know what it is. What he did... Let's go back and read that again. Verse 9. But since Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, he spilled his semen on the ground whenever he went into his brother's wife so that he would not give offspring to his brother. What he did was displeasing in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord put him to death also.
They're dropping like flies.
Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he feared that he too would die like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's house. In course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. When Judah's time of mourning was over, he went up to Timnah to his sheep shears. He and his friend Hira the Adullamite. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep, She put off her widow's garments, put on a veil, wrapped herself up, and sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. She saw that Shelah was grown up, yet she had not been given to him in marriage. Uh-oh. Judah hadn't kept his word.
Ooh.
I guess he was worried that he was going to lose Shelah, too, after Ur was wicked and Onan did what he wasn't supposed to do. I guess he was worried about losing Shelah, so he didn't give her to Shelah in marriage. And she was upset. So she put off the garments of her widowhood. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a prostitute, for she had covered her face. It's kind of different than what they do today, isn't it?
They covered themselves up.
They covered themselves up to be prostitutes. They didn't expose it. He went over to her on the roadside and said, "Come, let me come into you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, "What will you give me that you may come into me?" All right, time to dicker now on the fee. And he answered, "I will send you a kid from the flock." And she said, "Uh-uh. No Visa, MasterCard, or American Express." And she said, "Only if you give me a pledge until you send it." And he said, "What pledge shall I give you?" And she replied, "Your signet ring and your cord and the staff that is in your hand." So your staff that's in your hand, the cord, your cincture that's around your waist, and your signet ring, which is how you sign, my friends, legal documents. Those are important items. This is not little trinkets. These are important items that she wants in exchange for this. So he gave them to her. And this is sort of, you know, promissory note. "I'll send you a kid from the flock." What is that, by the way? A kid from the flock. A baby goat. All right? That's not a child. So I'll send you this, but until I send it to you, here's my signet ring, here's my cincture, here is my staff. You can keep these until I send you the kid from my flock. It's a promissory note. All right? So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she got up and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on her garments of her widowhood again. When Judah sent the kid by his friend Hira the Adullamite to recover the pledge from the woman, Hira could not find her. He asked the townspeople, "Where is the temple prostitute who was at Enaim by the wayside?" But they said, "There has been no prostitute here. We don't know what you're talking about." So he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." Moreover, the townspeople said, "No prostitute has been here." And Judah replied, "Let her keep the things as her own. Otherwise, we will be laughed at. You see, I sent this kid and you could not find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Your daughter-in-law, Tamar, has played the whore. Moreover, she is pregnant as a result of her whoredom." And Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." Woo! Tough penalty. As she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, "It was by the owner of these who made me pregnant." Yeah. "It was by the guy who gave me this that I got pregnant. And whose name do you see written there, Judah? Whose signet ring, whose cincture, and whose staff are these?" And she said, "Take note, please, whose these are, the signet and the cord and the staff." Then Judah acknowledged them and said, "She is more in the right than I. You better believe she is. Since I did not give her to my son Sheila. And he did not lie with her again. Yeah, but he didn't give her Sheila. When the time of her delivery came, there were twins in her womb. Take note of this, Jody. There were twins in her womb. While she was in labor, one put out a hand, and the midwife took and bound on his hand a crimson thread, saying, "This one came out first." But just then he drew back his hand, and out came his brother. And she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself." Therefore he was named Perez. Afterwards his brother came out with a crimson thread on his hand, and he was named Sarah, which means brightness or crimson thread. Breach. Breaking out. Yeah.
Keaton Perez,
though,
not too
Perez. Yeah.
Or
Antime. Empty Perez. Perez. Perez, breach. Therefore, should not be considered the firstborn because Zara's hand came out first, right? Guess what? David is descended of Perez, the breacher. Wow, what an interesting story. David, and therefore Jesus, is descended of Judah by his daughter-in-law, Tamar, who tricked him into having sex with her when she was playing a prostitute. All because Ur was a dirty rat, so God killed him. Onan refused to bring up children for his brother, and God killed him. And Judah refused to give Sheila, his third son, to Tamar. Why is this in the Bible? This has been Why Is This Story in the Bible Night. In disciple class, we had that question again and again and again. Why are these stories in the Bible? We have another one that's just a real head-scratcher. What in the world?
A real Peyton place.
A real Peyton place. Yes, indeed. Huh? As the stomach turns instead of the world. As the stomach churns. Jerry? Yeah, Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer wouldn't have any trouble with this family, friends. He wouldn't have any trouble. Can you just, think about that. Ur does something wicked in the sight of the Lord. God kills him. Onan refuses to have children for his brother. Sort of. No, he had sex with her. That wasn't a problem, but he just refused to do what was necessary for there to be kids as a result. He spilled his seed, and God got angry and killed him. Poor old Sheila sitting over there. No, I don't want to go over to her, God. She's the kiss of death. Black widow is right. And so he says, "I'll send you Sheila when he grows up," but Judah doesn't send Sheila to Tamar when Sheila grows up. Tamar gets angry. So Judah's gone up to shear his sheep, and she decides, "I'm going to shear him." So she puts on the prostitute's clothing, goes up, tricks him, has sex with him, has a kid by him like she was promised to begin with. And the result of this is the line from which the kings of Israel would be born. David would be born. Jesus would be born. What does that tell us about God's grace? The most unlikely people. Think about it. Abraham messes up, leaves Ur of the Chaldees, takes his tag-along nephew Lot with him, causes trouble throughout the whole story. Jacob cheats on Laban, and Laban cheats on Jacob, tries to get two for the price of one in terms of daughters. Just a real mess. God still works through Jacob. And here we have Jacob's son Judah. This group of Jerry Springer contestant wannabes, God is still willing to work through the most unlikely people. If God will work through people like Judah, God will work through us, friends. We ain't so bad. We have not fallen so far that if we confess our sin and repent and turn to Jesus, He will work through us. We haven't gone so far that God will refuse to work with us. And that's good news, my friends. And if for no other reason than that, that's a good reason to have this story in the Bible. That's a good reason to have those wild stories in the Bible about Jacob and Leah and Rachel and Leah and Rachel's spats and fighting with each other. I told a disciple Bible class tonight that the Chinese ideogram for trouble in the household is two women under one roof. That's exactly what Jacob had. An absolute nightmare with two women under one roof. With them fighting and disagreeing with each other over who was more important and who was more loved and who was the older and who had more children. Not exactly a pretty story, my friends. Well, if God would work through these people, God can and will work through us. And that's good news. That's good news for us tonight. That was good news for them. And will be good news for all of us. Amen.